There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right to 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And your chance to ask the sheriff your questions this hour. Mostly traffic involved.
Yes.
She'd get a glare from Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch, our guest this hour, 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 gets you through on a call or a text, but you can chime in and get in the line for questions. And we will talk later. I'm in the top 50% in college pick'em. I did not do it as well as I'd hoped, but I did. I'm in the top 50%. Now, are there hundreds of people ahead of me? Yes, but this is just week one of College Pick'em, so we'll talk about that. Sheriff, lots to talk about. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in. I know there was a presser today with Pritchard. Can you bring us up to date with where that is?
Well, it's always good to be here, but we're going to set some parameters for today's show.
Okay.
No traffic, no Pritchard. Let's see where it goes from there.
Well, all right. Let's go to... concealed carry.
Blank screen.
Yeah, blank screen.
I was told there was going to be one.
Yeah.
It happened same time of our staff meeting, so I haven't seen it.
I just seen
they have another meeting at noon.
Yeah, they were going to have another meeting. It said that the city, it named a company here they're using for the search for their top law enforcement officer.
Yeah.
So
I think they're spending like $50,000 for an out-of-town company to come help them identify a potential chief.
Okay. I do want to get to the broader, but while you said that, let's go back to something that everybody knows, and you have said specifically on this show and in public, it's not the great job. How are you going to go and search across the country to find somebody who will leave, who's doing a good job somewhere else? You want to get somebody who's shown that they can be a top law enforcement officer, bring them here and have no money to pay them, have a police department that's been shut down. How do you get the best?
The biggest obstacles I see with, you know, hiring a good quality person for that job, it would have to be someone who's already retired from another agency.
Okay.
Because Pritchard has no retirement system.
That's right.
So you're not going to find somebody to
retirement. Yes.
$65,000-$70,000 a year job with no potential for retirement. And, unless something's changed, they want them to live in the city of Pritchard.
Yeah.
So, I think they're going to have a hard time identifying that individual.
I mean, you're in Anywheresville, USA. You're fine. The group says, hey, this person's really got, they got the chops, and this person's got the chops. Why are they coming? I mean, I want success for Pritchard. We're going to get into all this. But I'm just asking the question that I think people ask to themselves. Why does anybody take that job?
I don't know, again, other than somebody who just wants to supplement, their retirement. And it's going to take a strong individual. But, to me, it's putting the cart before the horse. I mean, they're not there yet.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of mess to straighten out, in my opinion, before they start, being overly concerned about identifying a new chief.
So the lay of the land today, because it was, September 4th, that was Friday. Was the date it set for the pullback, right?
It was, and there was a letter of intent signed by Pritchard to continue negotiations, sincere conversations, with Pritchard and the county commission. Those are ongoing. They're still talking, details today. what I anticipate is that the contract will be reviewed and approved at the Pritchard City Council meeting on Thursday, and then we'll go before the County Commission meeting the following Thursday for their obviously they would have reviewed it by then. But
it's a contract. Is it done by the month? Is it done biannually? How long are these contracts?
It's for 1 year.
Okay.
They initially wanted Pritchard, being they, wanted to do month to month, and that was like an absolute no.
Okay.
I'm not going to hire the number of deputies I need to hire and just have a month-to-month contract. So it'll be for 1 year, you know, with no option for them to back out for that year. Because for a year, the number of deputies I need to hire, I can replace through attrition and retirements rather than have to lay them off should that contract end in a year. I don't see them getting where they need to be in a year.
Okay.
And I sincerely want to help them rebuild that department. But right now, let's just concentrate on public safety and protecting the community first. And then you know, see how things go and then find the right person, bring them in, and you know, we'll help them do everything they need to do.
How does that work? So if Pritchard enters this contract, you said it goes for the council and then goes to Mobile County Commission. Does the Mobile County Commission at that point say, here's the deal, here's how much money we're providing, Pritchard provides us?
Yeah, I mean, those terms will be worked out, obviously.
How much money are we talking about?
Right now, we're looking at about $1.2
million. $1.2
million
for the year?
Yes, and to be paid monthly. And you know, also what will be in the contract, if we miss a payment, we're pulling out. And so that's...
Does Pritchard have the money?
They do.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. And again, trying not to step off too much into their business, but they still have, I don't know, somewhere between 12 and 15, 16 officers that they've not done anything with yet. So
are they still being paid?
They're doing nothing but being paid. And so I don't know, you know, what that's going to look like. You know, I know that they've involved the personnel board and, you know, because there are some requirements there, but you know, that, They have the money to pay their police department, which was more than what we're asking for in the contract.
Okay, so they can allocate that money.
Yes,
I mean, because you were talking about one point, like what, $5,000 or $6,000 a day it was costing y'all.
It's right at $6,000 a day, you know. And initially it was about $20,000, between $18,000 and $20,000 a day, you know. But one thing I would like to say about that is, you know, we have applied for a number of grants and the reimbursements are in process, you know, to be able to pay that money back to the county, which will go back into our budget.
So these are federal grants?
Yeah, so they'll go federal, and there was one state grant. But, you know, that will go back into our budget. So we, you know, realistically, it will balance out. It's not near as bad as what, you know, it sounds like with numbers. And on another high note, you know, we originally said it'd take about 6 months or more to complete the collection of all evidence and get it processed and taken out of Pritchard and put into the sheriff's office property. Our plan is to wrap up Friday and turn that back over to the city of Pritchard.
That's good. I want to dig into that in a second. But yeah, on this money part, because people said, you know, while this is going on, the citizens of Mobile County at large shouldn't be paying for the policing of Pritchard. But the way you lay out this deal, if this contract is approved, then Pritchard is paying for the policing of Pritchard.
That's correct.
Okay, so they...
Now, you know, let's just say if Pritchard Police Department folded, you know, they are incorporated, so, you know, we could do a number of things. And if they had no police department, I'm not obligated to provide the level of service that we're providing right now. But if something, you know, a homicide, something like that happens, you know, we are obligated to respond, you know, and provide basic law enforcement response to something like that, but not the level that they're getting right now.
I mean, one of the things last time we were talking, it was just on the dispatch side.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't just, but just the number of calls.
Their calls are equal to our countywide calls.
That one area.
The city of Pritchard.
It is, and so, I mean, that part of it is like, even if you went into this where you're going to provide major crimes, but that doesn't mean dispatch and all that, does it?
No.
Okay, so say they're going to rebuild. You've been in law enforcement for a long time. Let's talk about that. Of course, you have to have they go out and find. How long does it legitimately take to build a police department?
Yeah, it took Sims about 3 years. You know, when they, of course they had never, you know, once they were incorporated,
right?
You know, we provided through contract services for about 3 years, and you know they hired a chief and then an assistant chief, then began slowly hiring officers, and you know there's a process to it.
So I mean, we could be looking. I mean, 3 years is a normal amount of time this could take.
It very well could be, and here's, if you look at it, you know, from a, I guess, overview, we will be able to provide that service cheaper than what you know they're doing right now, because you know once they contract with us, they're not having to pay the liability insurance, they're not having to provide, you know, pay for the vehicles they have in service. That's part of the
economy of scale too.
So, with they come out better financially, and you know that's another issue they're facing. They have no liability insurance, you know, for the municipality
right.
as a whole.
Yeah, I know that it lapsed. They haven't picked it back up yet.
Yeah, well. I do know the insurance company who provides insurance for most municipalities said that they will not renew if they have a police department. So that's
if they do have
a police department, because there's been
the problems. Well, and it goes back. You know, we talked about the chief side of it, but this is the thing I'd talked about for a long time. Okay, so you get a chief in there. How do you start recruiting officers? I mean, you got to have, I mean, just the money's got to be way better than anywhere else, I would imagine, for somebody to leave one department and go there.
I mean, they would have to increase the rate of pay significantly. But again,
retirement and all this.
Right. And to me, the biggest, you know, obstacle is going to be, you know, the retirement. You have no incentive to stay in advance and all that if there's no payout on the back end.
Somebody would leave the job that, you know, you've got a qualified officer over there at Anywhereville Department, Police Department, that they would pick up and go to Pritchard for less money and no retirement.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to just be flippant about this, but I don't get how that works.
They could increase, you know, I guess an ideal situation, you know, without the retirement issue, is if, let's just say you have some younger retirees from other agencies who can start drawing their retirement and then go there and work and, you know, maybe have a better rate of pay than where they were, you know, knowing that, you know, you're not adding a second retirement.
Right.
It's the only way I really see that happening. Or just these young officers, you know, with a better rate of pay. And, you know, there are startup, you know, agencies that which was basically what they'll turn into.
All right, coming right back. More of Sheriff Paul Birch. Your questions from the text line, 251-343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:23 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Your chance to ask the sheriff, our guest, Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. Michael asked this one right off the bat. I mean, here we go. Michael says, hey, can you ask the sheriff? Because I know it's one of his favorite topics he's picking. If he was supposed to enforce traffic safety on a restriped 6-lane bayway, how would his officers be able to do it safely?
Well, you would, number one, if there's no emergency lane, you wouldn't even be able to pull someone over without risking, you know, well, number one, you stop traffic completely in that lane.
And yeah, I'd like.
In a travel lane, and you there's going to be some bad accidents, you know.
And then how do you get, I mean, something happens out in the middle of the bayway. I really do. I mean, I know they've talked about this, but I would love to know the measurement from guard wall to guard wall.
Well, I mean, all you would do is really, you know, have to stripe smaller lanes, which with semis traveling on there is really going to be a problem.
Yes.
Because it gets tight sometimes anyway.
Oh, it's, yes. And, I mean, it's a worry. Like, I think it was Friday, I had to go help a friend get a piece of furniture in Midtown. And I'd already had to go out and pick up an RTV, so I had my 7-foot-wide trailer, right, behind that F-250. Had to go pick, it's all Midtown, go through the neighborhoods. it was white knuckle, and I'm driving about 17 miles an hour. Oh, yeah. It's white knuckle. I can't imagine doing that where, you know, because the stuff in Midtown, a lot of the streets are more narrow.
And there's cars parked on the
yes.
side.
It was a challenging thing. But you imagine having that narrow lane out on the Bayway, and then you got semis that are really taking up the full lane. And,
well, you know, just in a different view is, let's just say, you know, you're traveling and you've got some knucklehead start easing over on you. You've got nowhere to go to get out of the way.
Correct.
Like nowhere to go.
Yeah. And next thing you know,
which would be a catastrophe.
Let's say Rubbin's racing. Which
yeah.
Be Dirt Digger said, Sheriff Birch, please remind our community that you have a place to put the American flags if their flag is going down, because Trump said they need to go to jail if they burn our country's flag.
That I agree with, even though it's, you know, protected.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, go to jail and some other things. But, yes, we do have the boxes at our headquarters, our substations, and there's one at the courthouse that you can deposit your flag in, and they will be disposed of properly.
Good stuff. I mean, that was the thing that, yeah, we did with scouts, too. Certain times a year we did that because we were trained on how to do it, and we'd have the, you know, I think it was up at Balbilla, we'd do it. And,
yep.
This is unnamed texter said, last time you were discussing the concealed carry permit and I wasn't able to get through, but I found out even though you buy a lifetime permit, the ATF still says it has to be renewed every 5 years from issuance. You just don't have to pay for it again.
Right. Basically, it's just to make sure that, you know, there's been no arrest or, you know.
Yeah, you've said that in the past with them, that it may and shall issue that whole, because it does give somebody at local law enforcement level who knows the real lay of the land to be able to review something.
Correct. And what it, you know, if you look at some of your local gun dealers, you know, retail gun dealers, that's kind of one of their caveats too. You know, some will not accept the lifetime permit because, you know, they don't know how long ago criminal backgrounds
right.
run. So the agreement that we've made, and I think Baldwin County has made the same, is, you know, we will run them every 3 to 5 years to make sure there's been no issues.
And also remember, the old PSA ever run, like, 3 to 5 year permits, some of that money does come back to your local sheriff's department in that county. If you buy the lifetime, which is always, because I'd have just bought the lifetime, that money goes, here we go. I wish I had the organs or the music they play, dun, 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 to the general fund.
In Montgomery.
Yes. Y'all know we talk about general fund money? Dun, dun, dun. Yeah. Where will it go?
But the only permits you can get now outside of the lifetime are 1 year or 5 year. Mm-hmm. They eliminated.
The three, yeah. Yeah. And for reminders, if people want to do that, they can do
it. Online's the easiest. Go to mobileso.com and you can do it online. And unless it's, you know, if you haven't renewed it, you know, in a couple of cycles, then you have to get a new photo.
Yep.
The state requires that.
You can see the update. Remember, it went one update, and I went from looking like a child to looking like an old man. Let's see. This from Ultra Runner. He said, I met Heflin's, so I guess the town of Heflin's, police chief, and his mom at a pre-race dinner. I'm sure he could get paid more in a bigger city, but he loved his community and was proud to serve. Don't you think many young men in Pritchard feel the same about protecting their communities? Is Pritchard's financial situation so different from Heflin's?
Well, I don't know much about Heflin, but, you know, there are some, very few of officers in Pritchard who, you know, do a good job and stay on the straight and narrow. Again, those are a couple of the newer ones.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's a lot of, there's the level of corruption within Pritchard Police Department is unlike anything I've ever seen. And so it's...
You said that, because somebody asked you, like, last month, the month before, would you have hired any of the Pritchard Police Department to be sheriff's deputies? And you said...
Think about it, no.
No. And it was no. I mean, you said the same thing. It's no.
You know, and it's sad, and it's because of the rate of pay. A lot of their officers could not get hired with another agency for whatever reason, or been run off from another agency.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of their police department.
All right. Coming right back, we'll get more of your questions for the sheriff. 251-343-0106.
Yeah. 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 Sit.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, it's at 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with the man at LCM Motor Cars, David McCrary, who is, you're on the road, you just said, on the way back from Atlanta. Did you go up there for that football game? What did you do?
Well, I did. I did go for the football game. We stayed in Auburn over the weekend to visit with our son, Brantley. And, yeah, we did go to the game, and then we came back and spent the rest of the weekend here and stayed there through Labor Day. And I decided last night, I said, shoot, I'm going to drive up to Atlanta, and there's a sale up there that I've used to go to and check it out. Ended up buying 8 vehicles up there, so they're going through inspections and going to get on a truck and come home in a little bit.
Would you pick one out that you got that somebody needs to be ready for?
I bought a couple of really nice Chevrolet Traverses, 7-8 passenger utilities, a couple of trucks. I bought a 7 Series BMW and a 5 Series BMW that are really worth the money. So there'll be some nice stuff coming in, and this is the first of the week, so I should have them there Thursday or Friday at the latest.
Good stuff. Tell folks how to find you, and also find you online.
Right now, you can find us at Highway 90 and Plantation. That's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A, with the third red light on the left. You can give us a call, 251-375-0068. Or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com.
Hey, thanks, David.
All right, bud, thanks.
All right, there goes David on his way back to LCM Motor Cars. Continue our conversation with Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch. I'm looking at, let me just combine a bunch of these because there's a lot of questions on here. Why wouldn't they consider Paul Prine for Police Chief of Pritchard?
That would be, you know, a discussion for the city of Pritchard. Was told during a recent interview that, you know, he did say that they have not asked him, although he's, you know, putting his name out there. But, you know, that would be a discussion for the city.
Okay. I want to ask you this. You mentioned it earlier, said we come back to it. The evidence room, which you had said you'd never seen anything so bad ever.
No.
And Pritchard, you said it was just the worst.
Just imagine, you know, how many ever thousands of square feet that place is, and the worst hoarder you've ever seen in your life, just throwing stuff in there. To date, we've collected a little under 2,200 guns.
That were in there?
That were in there. Total of about 18,000 pieces of property to date that, you know, collected.
Jeez Louise.
Logged, you know, and then relocated, you know, to a sheriff's. And we had to buy several Connex boxes and put them in a secure facility, and of course they're spray foamed and climate controlled, mm-hmm. you know, to protect the integrity of the evidence. But
you
know,
and you talked about this, and we could talk about those sexual assault kits. What's the integrity of those when they've been in a, you said that room was how hot?
It was probably 100 degrees.
100 degrees.
I mean, there was no AC back there. We had to set up fans during that processing. And so, but our goal is, you know, to be out of there Friday. We'll do a walkthrough with the district attorney's office and the FBI, let them make sure there's nothing else that, you know, they need, and then we'll close the search warrant and turn the property back over to Pritchard.
Once again, how many guns?
Just under 2,200.
Unbelievable. So,
and most of them, we don't know what.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, too. So you go in there, you pick up the gun. Okay, you described last time. It's scattered through the, pick up the gun. How do you then take that? You said it was not cataloged. I mean, how do you say that gun's goes with the file of 1, 2, 3, 4 in the so-and-so case?
Or? We have to go through each and every report that's ever been written, you know, within a reasonable amount of time.
Okay. You get the, so you got the report.
And then try to match them up?
In the report, I don't know, does it, like, list the serial number on the gun?
Some.
So you got to go, all right, we're looking for, you know, a Beretta, and it here, and so we got to match that with the report. Is that how it?
That's generally how it would go, and you know, obviously we've had to run the serial number on every single gun to see if it had been reported, stolen, recovered. I talked with the chief of police on Friday, you know, from another agency actually across the bay, and he said not too terribly long ago they got a notification through NCIC that they had two of their firearms that had been recovered. So tried communicating with Pritchard, no response. Went over there, even though this is a transmittal now through NCIC that you've recovered this gun. And so
because they have
system.
A reported stolen gun, they have the serial number, and then so when it's logged,
they run it.
Okay.
It comes back stolen, and it lets that agency, the reporting agency, knows that the gun's been recovered. Well, they go to pick them up. We don't know where they are. So
they're somewhere out there in that room, maybe,
or at somebody's house. That's what a couple of them officers were arrested for.
Yeah,
and so
taking stuff from that was evidence and taking it.
Yeah,
and on the back to the sexual assault kits. That just when that story first hit, I lost it. I just thought about those families, those women. Is it the DA's office or some? Is that a Montgomery? How do you know? Are they compromised? Are they all some compromised? What percentage?
They were all sent to the FBI lab. They agreed to take all of them, and we've not received a report back yet. It was a large number of them. It's going to take a while to go through them.
Okay. But that's who. So I'm trying to place everything. So FBI's got those now.
They're
so if I'm looking for an answer on that, I'm looking at the FBI.
Yeah. They'll provide us a report when they're finished. And again, that's, a lot of those have been there for a long time, so it's not necessarily a priority timeline wise. So, they've got obviously, top priority stuff that they have to analyze for crimes, for terrorism and all that.
Right.
But we'll eventually get a report on it.
And they're going to be able to say, this one is compromised, this one's good, this one.
Yeah.
Is that how they will answer those?
It will.
Okay. Yeah. You mentioned guns too. So I remember in City of Mobile talked about it, years ago, the lock up your cars, this and that. How much of what your deputies are seeing, guns used in crimes around here, are those that have been stolen from people that are stolen guns of some sort?
Typically, if you can't identify and locate a gun that's been used in a crime, it's usually stolen, or they may not be reported stolen because a lot of people are hesitant to, file reports. Say, hey, I was a dummy and forgot to lock my car up or take my gun out. And we understand that, but you need to report it, and because that way, number one, if we get our hands on it, we can return it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and the it comes back to the serial number thing too. That I had this happen to me years ago, and it was a gun I inherited, and it was it wasn't unlocked. It was glass smashed, and the gun wasn't visible. But in the process of breaking in the truck, I didn't know the serial number on it because just had it for a couple weeks at that point, and there's no way other than describing the gun to ever find it again.
With technology.
After
nowadays,
that, I did a good job of.
Here's what I do. Every time I purchase a new gun, hopefully my wife's not listening. I first thing I do is take a picture of the box with the serial number, model number, and then I take a picture to make sure that same serial number is on the gun, and I store it in a file. It's a lot easier to just take a picture and try to write all that down.
It was chicken and hen house with me. It was like it was after that. Then I went back through all, probably I don't have any guns, but I did the same thing. So let's talk about this too. Any areas of the county, we've talked about this before, because the way you're doing the policing, you have the group that can react to special operations. Anywhere you're concentrating in Mobile County right now that you can say?
I mean, they're obviously doing some surges in Pritchard. Right now they're actively working on a murder case that we had over the weekend.
Which is
a really, really bad guy. And so that's kind of what they're concentrating on, right now. So, the guy just already been to prison for murder. And was on parole for murder and robbery first, which is basically an armed robbery, and just got out not too long ago, and now he's committed another murder. So,
I mean, talk about that, the idea of people getting right back out on the street. I mean, how many times do you deal with a person you've dealt with them before? Send them away.
Way too many.
Yeah.
And again, I know our prison system's overcrowded, but I'm a firm believer: you do the crime, you do the time. 20 years should be 20 years, not 6 years. Yeah. And, if you commit a murder, there are just so many, ways that every judge sentences differently, unfortunately. And, you know, there's, if you get a, there shouldn't be any consideration if you commit a murder. I mean, you've taken, not only taken a life, but you've taken that person from their family, somebody who will never have a father or mother, you know, someone's child that mm-hmm. their, you know, parents never see them again. So you should suffer the utmost consequences for it.
If there's one thing you could change about how we Alabama's criminal justice system, like, what would it be? I mean, in
standardized sentencing. You know, I better behave. We've got a few very liberal judges on the bench. And you can take the same exact crime. Judge A may give them, you know, 25 to life. Judge B may give them 12 years to life. You know, it's really, really frustrating, you know, knowing that, you know, a life has been lost and there's no real justice for the family that lost their loved one. When you, like I said, you send somebody away for 20 years, you're going to see them again in probably 10 to 12. And there just needs to be some standardized sentencing.
Yeah, and I think if people don't think about, I mean, they'll sit back and think about cases and go, oh, yeah, that's right. But you do get this mentality that, well, if they do this and they're found guilty of the crime, then they're going to be sentenced the same way. But you could argue that that's a miscarriage of justice if the same crime gets sentenced differently.
To me, it is. Again, it's the same crime. So, and nowadays, you know, I would say the majority, you know, not all, but majority of cases involves, you know, some kind of, you know, good witness testimony backed up by surveillance technology, because everybody's got cameras on their homes now. You know, and that's one of the first things we go in a case and start seeing, okay, crime happened here, let's check for blocks away, see if anybody captured a vehicle. You know. Mm-hmm. And there's usually some kind of DNA or physical evidence to you know, strengthen the case. And to me, once you have all that, that's a slam dunk, or should be. But again, you could take, you know, Judge A will give them whatever, and Judge B will give them something much less severe for the same exact circumstances.
Coming right back, more with your chance to ask the sheriff right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
It's 12:51 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile, glad to have you along. Text here from Irish Indian said, Sheriff, I don't think Buford Pusser walking tall could help Pritchard. Old school, there probably young people don't know what he's talking about, but yeah, we got a grin. Buddy Phillips said, I had the pleasure of meeting Paul at the G&D Hunters Night Out, and I couldn't have been more proud to have him as our sheriff. It's a good event. Speaking of which, G&D Outdoor Expo starts Friday. We'll be out there.
So. I do remember meeting, and you know, that's a fun event I go to every year, that Hunters Night Out, and it's always a good time.
I was out of town. It's the only reason I didn't get
great it. People.
Yep. Don't encourage Lee. Now, Starland, the rest of them are fantastic. Don't encourage Lee. Dave from Gulf Shores says, can you tell people if it's okay if they don't want to own or have a gun anymore to just sell it legally and be done with it?
Yeah, man, certainly well within your right. You know, be mindful of the person you're selling it to. Make sure they're not a convicted felon.
Jim in Georgetown said, speaking of inheriting a gun, how does one go about registering an inherited gun? I've only purchased a gun from a dealer, and as far as I know, it was automatically registered, or do I even need to worry about it? Well, we don't register.
No, you do not. I would encourage you not to register. But again, for the purpose of if something ever happens, take a photograph of the gun, zoom in on the serial number, take a photograph of that. That way, should something ever happen, you have that record to be able to report.
Okay, and I'm sorry, let me correct what David said. Can you tell old people it's okay if they don't want to own a gun anymore just to sell it legally and be done with it?
Yes. I mean, again, they're, you know, you could, I wouldn't go necessarily to a pawn shop because they're going to give you pennies on a dollar, but you can go to, I'd go to Stone Arms.
Yeah.
And they will give you a fair price for it, and they'll make sure there are no issues with it, and that way you sold it to a legitimate company. And again, Jeff will treat you real well.
Can I give y'all a warning here about Stone Arms, though? So you go to sell a firearm there, and what will happen is you go to sell that firearm, and you walk out with another firearm, or sometimes two. That's Jeff's hustle. I've gone in there like, okay, well, I've got two of these. I don't need this. And then I walk out, and I'm like, how did this just happen? Now I got two new shiny toys.
Same.
It's like I went in here to – what happened to me? Unnamed texter said, I have been shot by a man in my community that has been charged with rape, several drug offenses, and was put on probation and then failed a drug test that was going to make him spend his full sentence that he got for trying to kill me, and he has been released and right back down on the street for me and my family right now.
Well, there's a couple of questions I would have with that is, number one, if he was charged with rape, was he convicted of rape? The question being, is he a convicted felon and prohibited from possessing a firearm? Because there are certain avenues that could be pursued there, not just through state, but also through the federal government. And
because if he said, I've been shot by a man.
Yeah,
that's going to make you a felon, right?
No, I'm talking about his history on being able to possess a gun. I'd be curious to know who the judge is.
By this account from this texter, he has shot them.
And on probation.
Yeah. And charged with rape.
Charging and conviction are two different things.
Several drug offenses. Yeah, that would be interesting if they were found guilty and then put on probation, then failed a drug test that was going to make him spend his full sentence. Okay, so, wow. First of all, that's tough. And then have that person move in back by where you live?
That's a recipe for a problem.
Here I am, not the veteran law enforcement person you are, and I go, that's a powder keg.
Yep.
Because if I put myself in that person's shoes for a second, I would not tell the lead law enforcement person in the county of Mobile what I'd do. It would be, I'd be ready to go.
Yeah, sometimes you have to do what you have to do.
Wow. Sorry for you. The texture there, that's bad. Speaking of, a little segue into it, areas of crime in Mobile County, you can track that online.
Yes. My neighborhood, although we're having problems with it again.
What happened?
The company that writes all the programming and all that has their, folding, separating business partners and all that. And so we're looking at for a new vendor to make sure that does not happen in the future. Several months ago, it was because 911 had some problems. They replaced a bunch of software, and the newer stuff didn't work, and they had to replace it put the older stuff back in, which was working fine.
This is why I say I have this rant about here. My stuff's not important like yours, but I don't ask me to update, because every time I update stuff around here, it screws up other stuff.
Absolutely.
There's your job, AI. If AI can figure that out, just when we update, it doesn't erase everything.
Yeah. Well, there's things on my phone last update I still can't figure out where they went or how to get.
Well, every time my phone updates, it's to put a bunch of games on my phone that I don't want. I have to go through and delete them all.
Yeah.
Because I'm frustrated by that. Also, talking about the website and all that, still looking for, you'll put groups together. People want to get familiarized with firearms.
Yep. Just go on the website. And again, that has nothing to do with my neighborhood. The website's been running fine. Go to the website, sign up for it. We'll put you through a class if you're not familiar, with firearms or handgun. We have several for you to try out to see what you're comfortable with, because we encourage those who can legally carry a gun to do so, but do so safely and be knowledgeable about what you choose to carry.
Yeah. And as a guy that worked at a store that sold guns growing up, it was always tough to say, I can't let you go shoot the gun. They're like, I don't know what I want. I'm like, I know. That stinks.
We've got a little bit of everything to let, because we want that person to be comfortable with what they're, choosing to purchase.
100%. Sheriff, it's always good to see you.
Yep. Same here.
And we'll do it again next month.
All right. Look forward to it.